Father God in heaven, oh, what a privilege it is to be in your presence this morning. What a privilege it is knowing, what an honor it is knowing that you are here with us today. And Father, we just invite you and your spirit to come and be in every seat that's occupied by one of your children. Touch their heart and mind this morning. Touch my lips and let anything that I be said bring you honor and glory. Thank you for this time of being with us. In Jesus' name. I love the Gaithers. They're one of my favorite singing groups. And you could hear them in the background here just a few minutes ago. That was one of their songs, because I'm going to have Jay to play you this song in the end. And I don't even know the name of it, because I've lost my CD cover. And on the CD, it doesn't list the names of them. It just has the Gaithers on it. But I want to read you the words to this song to start out. It actually goes along so much, Polly, with what our Sabbath school lesson was about this morning. And God just has a tendency to do that, doesn't he? Work this whole thing together. That's how you, one of the reasons you know he's so present, because you hear Charlie refer to what you guys have talked about in Sabbath school in the mornings. This song, these are the words to the song, and as I was listening to the words up here, it really is important for us to listen, I think especially to Christian songs, because whomever the author to those songs are has suffered some type of tragedy or been through some situation and has come through that situation and is glorifying God. And that's the way songs are, and that's why music is made to minister to us. That's why it was so important to God. That's why he made Jesus, or Jesus being a part of him, and next to him was Lucifer. I mean, and his job was music. So you know that music is very important to God, because he knows how it ministers to us. This song goes like this. When I saw what lay before, Lord, I cried, what will you do? I thought he would just remove it, but he gently led me through. Without fire, there's no refining. Without pain, no relief. Without flood, there's no rescue. Without our testing, no belief. Through the fire, flood, water, blood, through the dry and barren places, through life's dense and maddening mazes, through the pain and through the glory. What will happen once we've gone all through that? We will always tell the story of God, whose power and mercy will not fail to take us through. And we've heard it said so often, especially here recently, either we're getting ready to go through something, we're in the midst of it, or we're coming out of it. And that pretty much lists the things. Anything that you're going through, you can probably put in one of those topics there. But what is the first thing that we often do when we have a problem? I think we've mentioned this time and time again. First thing you do is pick up phone, call Charlie. Pick up phone, call your best friend. Pick up the phone and call somebody. Let them know that you're going through this problem. And I know that's the way many of us used to be. And I know that many of us are not that way anymore. I can see the growth in so many of us that we are not where we used to be. And we don't pick up the phone like we used to pick up the phone, because we go to our knees instead of picking up the phone so often anymore, because we know that's the first place that we need to go. The first place we need to go is to God. Go straight to where the problem comes from. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't, just according to the size of the problem. And it's also according to how much we have been with God in the days and hours before we're faced with this problem. Because I find old Carol, if she's been slack in her time that she spent with God, then when I'm faced with something, I come unglued. But if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and spending my time with God and doing the things that I know that I should do, then when a problem comes up, wow, I'm able to stand in it much more readily. And I know that's a growth process. And I know that, like I said, I'm not where I used to be. That I could not do a year ago what I can do when I'm faced with a problem now. And, you know, that's a bold statement for any of us to make, because we don't know at that point. It's almost like the prayer that Aaron was talking about. When you pray, God, do whatever it takes. That is a scary prayer to pray. But that is the only prayer that I think that God wants us to pray. whatever it takes. Because that means we're going to have to let go of ourselves. We're going to have to let go and watch Him work. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to let go of our power, that we know that we know it all. Or we may be unassured that we know it all. We're just kind of content with what we do know, and we think we can solve the problems with what we do know. But you know, Matthew 6 tells us that your Father knows what things you have need of. He already knows before we ever come. So that means He knows the problem before it happens. And that in itself should give every one of us peace, knowing that it's already passed by God's throne, whatever the situation is, and it's already got His approval that it can happen. That in itself should give us comfort, knowing that God already knows what we need because He already knows what's going to happen. Philippians 4:19. We're all familiar with this one. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ. Well, that too. That should give us the essence to where we don't have to get so upset. Because God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. So we already have two things that we shouldn't get up because we have a problem. Get upset. God already knows what it is, and God already has the answer. Because He says He will supply everything you need for this trauma that you're going through. And I look around here, and I don't see any of you, including the kids, because they've got exams coming up, or in the midst of exams and whatever. I don't see anybody in here that really doesn't have something going on in their life to where we need God. And yet we get upset that we have these problems. Hebrews 4:16 says too, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. That's in Hebrews 5:16. That God tells you, you do not have to come to me. Oh, please, God, help me. Please, God, you know what's going on. You know that I'm in trouble. You know that I need you. No, He wants us to come before Him. God, hello, I know you're there. And that you can take care of this. He wants us to come boldly before Him. Why? Because you're His child. And isn't that the way you want your children to come to you? The ones of you that have children? You don't want them to come sneaking around or, I mean, I won't mind coming even at their age. Mom, pray for me. Mom, I've got this problem. What can I do about this? And God wants the same thing from us. But Satan doesn't want you doing that. He wants you turning from God. He wants you to get a hold of this problem and begin worrying, what am I going to do? What's going to happen? How can I handle this? I've lost my job. What am I going to do? Where's the money coming from? Oh, no, this means I'm not going to have gas money to even go find a job. I'm going to lose my home. That's what the devil wants you doing, especially in the times that we're living now. And we are God's children. We should be on the opposite. People should be looking at us and, you know, Daniel here glorifying God that, hey, God's got something special for me to do. I know, you know, we all know that if He closes a door, He's going to open a window. And that's not just a statement that's in there, people. That means something. When God says, I close a door, I open a window, that's a way out. We are not kept in a shell. And we are not kept to where we cannot continue going on and glorifying God. And He doesn't want us full of the fear that the devil wants us to have. The devil wants us anxious. But the biggest thing he doesn't want us trusting God. We can worry and all the things, the worry, the doubt, the inconsistency, one minute I know, and one minute, God's going to take care of me. Well, I don't know if He will or not. You know, I've already put out how many applications, and I don't know. But you know, I know God's going to take care of it. He doesn't want us wavering. He wants us on His side, in His kingdom, not in the side of the world. Because everybody's going to be telling you, I know 10 people that's put an application in there, and they haven't even gotten a call back. Well, that's the world. I know. I'm the 11th one to put one in there, and I just may get the call back. And if I don't get the call back, then I'll get a call back from somewhere else. We just have to stay positive and keep knowing that God is going to take care of us. What I want to look at today is what happens between the amen and there it is. We go to God in prayer. We ask Him to resolve this problem or this conflict or help us with our job, whatever it may be. And we say, amen. And we open our eyes. And what happens between there and, yeah, I got it. I got my job. I got my raise. I got my new home. I got whatever it is that I wanted. I got my kids are doing the right thing now. Whatever it be, what are you doing? We know what God is doing. Do we just say a prayer and then wait for what's happening next? Or do we look at James 1 where it says, let you ask in faith, not wavering. For if you waver, you're like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. I like what the contemporary English says. It says, but when you ask for something, you must have faith and not doubt. For anyone with doubt is like a wave tossed about in a storm. That's like what I was talking about a while ago. We either go into the world and we're on this side of the wave and yay, good. It tossed us over back into God's side where we say, no, we're not having doubt. We don't have any fear. But it says that if we ask in faith, we're going to stay in the God kingdom. We're going to stay on that side and not into the world's kingdom. And think of what the world is cramming down your ears all the time, letting you know how bad things are. And you know, as God's children, we ought to be thankful things are getting bad. Because the worse things get, the sooner He's coming back. And we don't have to be worrying about it. First, we've got to have faith. And where do we get faith? Where do you learn about it? He's very, you know, that's what I love about the Bible. I don't care what it is. Don said this morning that we can find any answer to anything we want in the Bible. We can. And then if we want to, we can turn it around and make it say anything that we want it to say. But the answers to everything, that any question we have concerning God is going to be in here. And in Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes from, and hearing comes from the Word. Right, Polly? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from the Word, and that's where we're going to hear God. You mean you're not going to hear it from Charlie? You're not going to hear it from this song that we're going to hear after a while and I read to you? I'm not going to hear it from Jennifer talking to her on the phone? I'm not going to hear it talking to Eli? Oh, yeah, we're going to hear it. But in here is the power. Because in here is the Spirit. And if we're not reading this on a daily basis, we don't have the power. You don't have the power that you could have. And I enjoy television. I love the Nature Channel. My favorite one, National Geographic. I love that. I could watch it all the time. But oh my goodness, how it robs us. How we sit in front of the television hour after hour and think of nothing about the Bible being in there gathering dust, and all our power is here. And we wonder when the trial and tribulation comes up why we don't have the power. The power is right here. Our faith is right here. You're going to be able to stand up and withstand all those things if we're in the Word. Remember Paul and Silas? Paul and Silas didn't have this. They didn't have the end of the story. They didn't know those chains were coming off. They just knew they had been beaten, and we know how they used to beat back then. It wasn't with a little switch or a couple of them platted together. We know Paul and Silas was bleeding, and we know that Paul and Silas was in the jail, in the prison. And we're not talking about a prison that the prisons we have today. We're talking about a prison that was sewers. The prisons back in those days were the sewers, and the people sat up here while all the mess and everything was just running. I mean, they're still there. Well, you could still dry, of course, but they're still there that we could go see them today if we wanted to. But that's where those men were. They didn't know they were going to get out that night. And what did they do? They sang. They sang praises to God because they were in His power and in His presence because they stayed focused on Him. And they knew what, they didn't know what was going to happen to them. And I don't think they really cared. Because they knew that whatever happened to them was going to be what God wanted them to be. Because they stayed in communion with God in their spirit, and they knew. So what's wrong with us? We have all the faith building material that we need. We have all these stories that we need. We even know how it's going to end. We even know how it's going to end, and yet we don't have the faith that we should. We all have the faith building material, yet we ignore it when we really need it, and we forget how He has met our needs in the past. That's my thing. I just seem to forget so often how He led in the past. If I would just stop and think of all the wonderful things that He's done before, and that's, you know, just, it's a beautiful time now. Sit out on your deck or out on your porch or in the yard or wherever and just contemplate this afternoon of the wonderful things that God has already done in our life, and yet we're upset about the thing that's happening now. And these should all be building blocks to bring us to where we need to be. I have like a little checklist. It's like a faith checklist, but it's intertwined. I've divided it up into about 6 or 7 parts, but they still all kind of go together. And it's what we need to look at between that amen and, oh, yeah, there it is. There's our answer from God. This is kind of like, well, I said amen. Now, what am I going to do while I'm waiting to get this answer? And the first thing, of course, is to pray. But we pray about the situation. And we got into this conversation in class this morning. I was thinking that when we're praying to God, the question was asked, how did Jesus stay in prayer all night long? You know, who was He praying for? How did He stay in prayer all night long? And we kind of came to the conclusion in class that we do need our sleep. None of us really sit up praying all night long unless something traumatic is going on in your life and you really can't go back to sleep. So what do you do with that time? Well, one, as God's child, we're not going to sit there and worry. What we need to do is go to the Word, whatever it is, but we need to start praying. But our prayer is different. It's not a prayer, oh, please, God, will You take care of this? God, now, if You did this and You did that and You made him do this and her do that, then it's going to work out okay. Like, He needs their advice. We need to go to Him in prayer with an attitude of joyfulness, assurance, that He's taking care of the problem. Oh, thank You, God. I know You're going to work it out. Excuse me. I know that You're going to be taking care of it. And the other thing is praying for others. I doubt that you're going through a circumstance that you don't know someone that's going through another circumstance. And you, especially if that circumstance is like the one you're going through, you start praying and praying earnestly that God will work out their situation. And ask God, is there something that you can do to help them in their situation? And God just seems to answer those prayers. That's the way we've been trained here for the past 2 or 3 years to do. And it works, doesn't it? I better see every head shaking because I know that it works. And I know that you guys know that it works. But the thing of it is Satan's going to try to keep you so busy. He's going to try to get you refocused. He's going to try to get your mind off of this prayer, especially the prayer of assurance, and helping you to distrust that God can do what He's supposed to do. Don't let Satan do that. Don't let him take your mind off of it. Especially, it's so easy when we're getting in the Word to fall asleep or let your mind wander. I have to fight that battle all the time. The second thing is get into His presence. Well, we're in prayer. We're in His presence. And how we do that, of course, is reading the Word, listening to the music or the CDs, talking to a friend at that point. Just singing the song, singing the praises and really sing the praises. I know there's some of us that stand for every song, and I'm not saying anything against the ones of you that don't. I'm not, please. You want to sit, that's fine. That's up to you. But last year, I went through a terrible time. We spent a lot of money with the circulation in my legs being so bad and my feet cramping that it was just so difficult for me to walk. And I just told God sitting here one Sabbath, I said, you know, and I was having to sit, and I didn't like that anyway. I said, I am going to stand anyway. And I would stand, and my feet would hurt. And all of a sudden, my feet began to feel better. And I just cannot sit down. When we're singing a song, I know God healed my feet to the point at least to where I can stand. And that's my reason for standing. And one of my reasons for standing is I know that my God healed me, and I want to thank Him just by standing on those 2 feet that He took care of. So that, and I just get so much. It just seems like I get so much out of it more when I stand. But you may not, and that's fine. I'm not criticizing anyone for that. You need to begin to thank Him for answering your prayers and claim that victory when you are in His presence. You need to know that whatever way, here's the crux, whatever way He answers it is going to be the right way. And when you get in His presence and you feel really close to Him, then you can say that with assurance. God, I know whatever, however you work this out, it's going to be the way that it should be worked out. And how many of us has had a prayer answered much differently than we thought it should have been? And in the long run, we knew, oh, look at the hits on it. Yeah, we knew that it was the right way. That He, see, He knows it all. And the third one is to crave Him more. Now, that goes along with being in His presence. And to be, but I love chocolate. And at nighttime, I crave chocolate. I was so glad when they said dark chocolate was good for your heart. Now I had an excuse that I could have my dark chocolate at night. And I crave it. I mean, I want the dark chocolate. I just crave the stuff. Well, that's the way we need to be about God. But we need to pray for it. And I assure you, that's going to be a prayer that He answers. God, let me want You. Let me want to be with You. Let me hunger for You and thirst for You. I want You. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if My people who call by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Well, can we see Jesus now? We can't see Him visibly, but we can sure see Him spiritually. And that's what He's instructing you can do, for you to do. If you will do that and turn from your wicked way, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land or answer their prayers or answer their desires. Crave Me. Seek Me. Want to be with Me. Ask Me for that. And I will put a yearning and a burning in your heart, He says. Colossians 3:1 says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Oh, guys, the things of this world are nothing. We are so blessed in this country to have what we have. And we just really are so blessed. But this is nothing. And even the things that you do have can look and seem so much better to you and have so much meaning in your soul and to you if you will just seek God's face. Because He'll let you know how blessed you are. And you're not going to be craving the other things of the world. And you're going to have such peace. When you start craving Him, I read to you a few minutes ago where He said, I will give you peace. And that's what we're all trying to do when we're trying to seek all the things that the world has to offer. We're looking for happiness and peace. And we think that all the things of this world is going to bring us happiness and peace. And it isn't. It's the craving of God's face that's going to bring us the peace. And number four, determine in your heart that you want to build a deeper relationship with God. If you have to write it on your calendar, if you are such a busy person that you have to put down on your calendar between 7 and 8 o'clock at night, that's my time. Between 3 and 4 in the morning, that's my time. But I am determined, God, that I am going to spend time with You. Because believe you me, if you do not determine in your heart that you're going to do it, Satan is going to fill up your day and fill up your time with so much stuff that you're not going to have time for Him. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So determine that you're going to crave Him, that you're going to have that relationship with Him. He never said that He was going to pull any of us into Him. The action has to be on our part. It has to be on your part. You're the one that's got to go seek Him. Granted, He seeks us. We've got that prevenient grace that He's been with us all since the day before we were born. And He says that He will stand at the door and knock. But the door's going to stay closed unless you open up the door. And, you know, really, the door's closed every night. Once you go to sleep, door's closed. Tomorrow's a brand new day. Today was a brand new day. As you opened up your eyes, you opened up a brand new day, and he's standing there knocking, and who's going to open the door? And we have to do it on a daily basis. Remember the woman with the issue of blood and how she pressed to Jesus? When they talk about throngs of crowds in the Bible, it means thousands of people. So it wasn't just like our little group there that day that the woman was there, or a few hundred people. There were thousands of people there, and she had to push her way through to Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We need to press on and keep going toward Jesus and not let Satan divert us off. We need to just keep pressing on and pressing on. Now, this woman had so much faith that she knew all she didn't even need to talk to him. He didn't even need to say a word. He didn't even need to look at her. She knew all she was going to have to do was touch him, touch something of him. And her problem was going to be taken care of. What a message for me and you. All we have to do is seek his face, press on, touch him here in the word, touch him whatever, touch him quietly. Just let him make himself visible to you in your spirit, and he's going to resolve your problems. In him we can cast down all our worry, all our doubt, and all our frustration. Because what we're going to do now is to rekindle that first love. Remember your first love you had for him? Remember how you couldn't get enough of him? I remember. And I'd known Jesus. I've been in church all my life since I was a little girl. And I knew about him. I knew the stories about him. But I didn't know him. And I remember when I fell in love with Jesus. I couldn't get enough. The boys were small. They were still at home. And I would just sit on my stoop. We lived in Richmond. And I would sit on the front porch and I would just read and read and read and read, because I just could not get enough of him. And that's what we need to do. We need to rekindle our desire for him and for his word. Remember where the disciples said, "Did not our hearts burn as he spoke to us?" Well, guys, he's not here. And we can't speak to him face to face. But won't our heart burn as he speaks to us as we open up these pages? You want your heart to burn for him? Then we can't neglect here. We have to rekindle and spend that time with him. But then he asks, these are the things that we're to do. And then there's certain things that he asks us to do. He says, make certain that you're keeping your life pure. Now, we want God to answer our prayers on our terms. That's because we're human. I know God made us, so what does it do? Come back on his fault? No, that's the self that we have to get rid of. But we do want God to answer our prayers on our terms. But it's when we let go and say, okay, God, do it your way, that these prayers are going to be answered. And we found among ourselves, because we talk about it quite often, that the sooner we let go, the sooner our prayers are answered. Now, that I can guarantee you this, it does mean there's going to be another conflict and there's going to be another problem, but at least that one's taken care of and you're going to be stronger because of it. We want God almost like a Santa Claus. Here, God, here's my problem. Now give me the answer. And that's what that song said in the beginning, that we thought that he was just going to resolve it or remove it like that. And God is not a Santa Claus. He will give us the things that we need, though. We need to take a look at our life and see if we're doing the things that God requires of us. He promises us he's never going to leave us and he's never going to forsake us. Oh, praise God. So that means no matter what you're going through, you're not alone. That there's two people there. There's you and Jesus. If your spouse is not with you, your friend, best friend's not with you, your pastor's not with you, whatever, we are not alone. The best friend is with you, and that's Jesus, because he promised you. And as Aaron's always saying, God's not a liar. He said the truth. So if he promised he would be with you, he's not going to leave you. But he's not going to leave who? Do you think God leaves some people sometime? It's a good one to contemplate. But he says he's not going to leave his child. And we have learned that there are people walking this earth that has another father. And they are children of the devil. But I am not one of them. And I know that you are not one of them. You are His child. And it is you that He has promised not to leave. How do we know that we're His children? If we're following and doing the things that He wants us to do. The God of peace will be with those who think on and do the things of Philippians 4:8. These are the things. Whatsoever things are true. Are you doing what's true? Are you doing what's true on your job? Are you doing what's true in your home? Whatsoever things are honest. Again, home, work, friendships. Are you being honest? Whatsoever things are just. Or are you just trying to justify? Well, everybody else does it. I'm just doing it for a little while. You're just, as I used to tell Scott and Paxton, you're just trying to justify it when you say the word just. Don't say the word just. Whatsoever things are pure. Are you pure in your thoughts? Are you pure in your thoughts about your friends? About yourself? Are you a lovely person? Do others see you as lovely? Oh, wait a minute, Carol. Does that mean everybody has to be lovely? I don't know. It says it in Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are lovely. Must be, guys. We must have to be lovely people because it says it right here. And whatsoever things are a good report. So while we wait up on the Lord, we want to make certain that we have our lives in order. And we want to make sure that we're doing the things that He desires each one of us to do. If you're making certain that these things are in order, if you're being honest and just and pure and you're working on all those things, guys, there's no time for discouragement. There's no time for worry. There's no time for confusion. There's no time for stress. There's no time for those things if we're doing what God wants us to do. So if you're upset about something today, go to Philippians 4:8. Make certain you think upon these things, because then you're not going to have time. Discouragement leads to compromise, and all of a sudden you're thinking, oh no, is God going to answer this prayer or not? And you just become, well, I don't think He's going to. You know, it's been so long, I don't think God's going to answer it. I might as well just go back and try to handle it myself. And we do that so often without waiting upon the Lord. And why do we have these things? Why do we have these problems? Why do we have these conflicts? So that we all can grow in Christ. That's the ultimate reason that we're growing, is so that we can commune with Him. Every one of the things that I've mentioned this morning, remember the seven things: continue in prayer, get into God's presence, crave God more, determine to have a deeper relationship with God, press into Jesus, rekindle your desire for God, and make certain you keep your life pure. And you know what God's going to do, because He's only going to do the best. But we need to ask ourselves, what am I going to do? I know what God's going to do. What am I going to do in this situation? Am I going to let Satan grab a hold of me? Am I going to worry myself sick? Am I going to stress out about this? Or am I going to give this situation to God? What are you going to be doing between amen? And there it is. I want you to listen to the song.